Good evening, everyone. This is Victoria with the Ask Spirit Now show, and it is such a pleasure to be with each and every one of you. I know that we have listeners from all over the world, and I want to let you know that I am taking calls tonight. If you need a reading, if you need to just chat, have something on your mind, tonight's show is going to be on spirituality and boundaries. And I know that people may wonder, well, where in the world and what does that have to do with it? But I have found I have been able to grow more spiritually in my own adventure and my journey, as well as many people that I have talked with and counseled with, by putting in and understanding boundaries. So that's what we're going to be talking about. And if anyone has any insight on that or any experiences with putting boundaries in or not having boundaries, I would just love to hear from you this evening. I do want to let you know that next week, I believe that's August 31st, Deborah Clements is going to be my guest, and she is a well-known astrologer. And interesting enough, the reason why I wanted her to be on my show is that she's a former attorney. Well, once an attorney, I guess you're always an attorney. And now she's an astrologer, and she used to be in family law, which is what I still am in. So I just thought it would be wonderful having her on. So next week she will be on. And then September 14th or somewhere around in there in September, I'm going to have Marshall Smith on. He's another Californian, and he's a UFO expert. So I'm very excited about my upcoming guest. I'm going to be having Rose on, who is a metaphysical doctor. So we're going to have lots of good guests, and I'm excited about that. So tonight, as I was stating, we're going to talk about this spirituality and the boundaries, because it's fascinating to me that when someone says that we're spiritual, and everyone listening tonight I know is spiritual, I feel you. But what's fascinating is it's almost like we have to give something of ourselves in violating our boundaries to our families, to our friends, to those in our workplace, because it's almost like that we're expected to do more than someone else and not protect ourselves, not honor ourselves. I was doing work with someone the other night, and the main issue was about honoring. And that is what boundaries are about. You can hear my dogs outside. It's because what happens is that when, even with Christ, when someone did not want to be healed or someone crossed his boundaries, I'm putting in my understanding, but he just didn't allow people just to walk all over him. He took care of himself because he knew that by taking care of himself, only then could he truly care and heal others and take care of others. So it's a very important aspect of spirituality, because there are signs of unhealthy boundaries. And so what happens is if you're pushing emotion at a person who is not inviting it, like touching them too much or paying too much of attention to them, and you can kind of feel when they're backing off. That's just someone trying to tell you in a nice way, hey, you're crossing my boundaries. And you know, there are a lot of spiritual games people play where you touch and you can feel when someone's come into your etheric field too much, you get kind of uncomfortable. And that's what we're talking about by those boundaries. Now, a lot of people also talk about spiritual boundaries by putting up a love and light around them, or asking the archangels Raphael and Uriel and Archangel Michael and Gabriel to surround them in their etheric field so that no one can come in. And I do that every day. Some people can, you know, there's another viewpoint on it, as long as you stay in channel, but it takes time to learn how to do that. I mean, I studied for years learning how to stay in channel and connecting up with the highest realms so that you know that you're always protected and that there aren't any lower realms of energies, because listen, folks, there are a lot of dimensions out there. We are on one dimension here on Earth, and yet there are the other dimensions that are just right in our, and they're just right here. We just don't see them. Some people do. But we definitely can feel them. And so what happens is if we, as spiritual beings here on Earth, we need to protect our boundaries with that, because, you know, I want to bring something up, because so many people talk about psychics. and they get so scared. And from my training, it's been fascinating because psychics can change somebody's life for the better because they're very intuitive and have incredible abilities and gifts. Yet a psychic who is not trained, as with anybody, a good doctor who is inherently a good doctor, you sure do want them getting some training before they actually do surgery on you. And it's no different with a psychic. And that's why I feel like so many light workers that are, you know, that we call ourselves psychic or a light worker or an intuitive can get such a misunderstanding. And the religious folks just, you know, go up the roof with the word psychic, because what I feel and the way that I was trained is that when you are psychic, it means that you have a gift, a very powerful gift, and it is a great gift to help other people. Yet at the same time, if you put fear into that help, then you're not really helping. You're bringing in the lower realms of energies, and those can be not in the best interest of everyone. So I have always learned, and in my training, that if you call yourself a psychic, and psychic means of the soul, it's gotten other definitions, but really its true meaning is of the soul. When you have someone who is a psychic medium, that is someone who has truly learned how to channel in the highest vibrations and keep the protection, keep the spiritual boundaries around them so they don't have any lower realms or upset crossed over folks that are coming in that can cause a problem or put fear into someone. So I would always say to you, put your spiritual boundaries up when you're asking for a spiritual reading, because you want to make sure that they're inspiring you, giving you truths and gifts and beautiful gifts, you know, that you can benefit from, but from the highest realms, from the archangels and from spirit and your spiritual guides and all that. So it's very fascinating that that's the training that I have gotten. And many people think of a medium as someone who communicates with those crossed over, and that is definitely one of the definitions. It is also someone who can channel in information from the higher realms. And those that are very skilled at it and have taken training, I've spent years getting training on this, you know that you can understand what your messages are, and you know what it means. And that is why it is very important when someone's doing dream analysis for you that you understand those spiritual boundaries and understand all of that. But, you know, one thing I want to talk about it is, so many times in life we have work experiences or we have relationship experiences, and boundaries need to be kept in. If a child has been abused as a you know, young baby or even in their childhood, it can cause that violation of their boundaries to cause them to not honor their own boundaries and not to even know that they have them. And it can create a lot of upset as a child, and I'm very sensitive to this type of thing because I do work with children in the juvenile court system and also work with people in counseling. And if a child's boundaries have been violated in any way, then what happens is they don't understand how to say no. They don't understand what part of themselves that they need to keep to themselves. And it's very interesting. I watched a child that had been abused early on in life, went out to the airport one day, and this child was running around and speaking to everybody. Now, you can call that friendly, but at an airport, go a little too much, because, you know, at an airport, someone can grab you, and the mother could be looking just for a second at the gate, you know, to where the airplane's coming in, and that child's gone. So it was a very serious problem for this particular family, and we had to work on that because you don't want to get fear into a child, but at the same time, a child needs to understand that you cannot just go up to people. There is a boundary. And it was very interesting because I saw another situation where a child went up to an adult, and the adult was very trained in boundaries and said to the child, oh, you're too close. you know, respect my boundaries. And it was very interesting because sometimes children tend to have a natural way of protecting their own boundaries. And if you force a child to go up and hug Aunt Bertha or Uncle Joe and they don't feel comfortable doing that, we're actually teaching a child at that point not to respect their boundaries, because children typically know what they want to do. If they really had a chance to honor their own boundaries and learn about them, they actually, you know, they pretty much know, wow, you know, that's I don't feel comfortable talking to Uncle Joe right now, and I don't, really don't want to kiss Aunt Bertha. So it's very interesting to know that. But another sign of an unhealthy boundary is not asking for help when you really want it. And sometimes we just close up and say, well, nobody really cares about me, and I'm not going to call anybody. I'm not going to call anybody on the line because maybe I really shouldn't. And that sometimes is keeping an unhealthy boundary, because it's like, you really need help? Ask for it. In a good, loving way, ask for the help. And, you know, I think one of the things that happens sometimes in relationships is that we expect too much too soon from people. And I know I had a lot of issues with boundaries early on in my life, and I've had to struggle with it throughout my life. And I know in relationships I would expect too much from people. I would try to get too close to them too quickly, and that, you know, is obviously a sign of a child who's had their boundaries violated, and I certainly did as a very young child. So I have, you know, great experience with it and great reason for wanting to learn about it, because what was happening in my own family was that boundaries were getting violated by mothers and grandparents and children, and before you knew it, it felt like, you know, there was a lot of anger coming up, because it's like, well, wait a minute, what about me? You know, what about my space? What about how I feel? It's basically a very important aspect of life to understand what some of the signs of unhealthy boundaries are. So one of them is, you know, not working too close to people and not allowing things to just unfold, like in a relationship, just allow that relationship to unfold, not expect too much of yourself, not expect too much of them. And listen, this is very important. If someone comes to you and you're dating and you don't really feel comfortable giving them a goodnight kiss, or you don't feel comfortable holding their hands, it's okay. Honor yourself. Just say, well, thanks. You know, I appreciate that. What a nice compliment. And just say, not right now. And you know, give them a nice smile, but be in your heart. Be honest with how you're really feeling about it, because otherwise, if you let those lines of boundaries cross early on in a relationship, I have to tell you, folks, it's hard to get them back, because then the person's saying, well, wait a minute, you were like that when I first met you. Now you're different. Wait a minute, this is not, I don't know. It makes them feel like they can't trust you. And the truth is, you're not really trusting yourself. So what they're picking up is actually correct. Because if you really trusted yourself and believed in yourself and honored yourself, you would say, not tonight. I don't feel comfortable with that. And, you know, if you have a problem, get some help on it. I mean, if there is something that really is deep down, then it's time to say, wow, you know, what a great mirror, what a great opportunity for me to see that didn't quite feel so good. I wonder why. You know, I'd say to myself, I'd say, Victoria, I wonder why that didn't feel comfortable. Well, let me go meditate on that and let's find out what happened. I felt my boundaries were crossed. Ooh, wow, what happened there? So it's very important to even get that little bit of it, because I want to tell you a little secret here about boundaries. It happens very quickly. It isn't like someone comes over and slaps you in the face and then you know your boundaries have been crossed. It isn't that. It's very subtle sometimes how a boundary can get crossed if we're not aware of it. And I feel in many of my earlier relationships that I did not keep my boundaries firm and very good. And that is why some of the experiences that I had to go through happened, because I didn't understand them. And even now in my own home, I really have to keep my boundaries very, very firm and very solid so that the people around me, especially my daughter, know, wow, you know, I can only go that far with my mom. And, but yet she honors that with me. So she knows that her boundaries get protected as well. But people feel more comfortable around people that keep strong, healthy boundaries in because they know what to expect from the person. And when you know what to expect from somebody, you respect them more and you feel more comfortable around them because you feel like this person, you know, I like this person. This person, you know, knows what they like and what they don't like. Now, granted, that doesn't mean that you have to be ugly about it. And a lot of people keep very strong boundaries, but they're ugly about it. And I have to tell you that in court, I have had to learn a lot of personalities because so many people in court feel like they have to be a certain way because if they're not, then they won't be in a good attorney. And I don't believe that. I have a new book coming out, Justice of the Heart, Bringing Compassion into the Game of Law. And if I can ever figure out how to do all the internet stuff, it'll be coming out probably in October. That's presuming I can push the right buttons to get it with the publisher correctly. But it's very interesting because I see that every time I go to court, there are some who have very strong boundaries, know exactly who they are as an attorney, and feel very, very, very secure. And you know those people, it's very easy to work with them. And then there are the other ones that don't have those, and they feel a little bit more insecure, so they have to be louder, they have to be a little bit more, I don't know, not as pleasant to work with because they feel a little bit insecure about what they're going to do next, so they feel like they have to be bigger and more pompous. And those types of, or either they're, you know, I know some in Superior Court that I've worked with are actually drinking, but other than that, most attorneys are very good to work with, and I want to let you know that because a lot of people have given, you know, pretty bad raps to attorneys because they do come to cross over your boundaries a lot and interfere in our lives so much that we'd like, whoa, you know, I was doing pretty good until you came in. I hear a lot of divorce people say that, well, we were pretty good on our settlement until the attorney came in. But those types of things are boundaries. Another thing that you need to know is that accepting touch. If you don't want someone to touch you, then just let them know, you know, that feels a little uncomfortable. And I'll tell you one of the biggest things, and I really honor children on this, is children always know, unless, again, they've been abused as a child, and then that boundary issue is pretty messed up sometimes. But when someone feels uncomfortable to you, there are a couple of reasons why I bring that up. Is that because if someone feels uncomfortable to you, it could be that they're mirroring something that you have within yourself. But let's just use something else here for a minute. Let's just say that you feel uncomfortable with someone getting very close to you and having a big bucket asking for money. So you're at some place at the mall and all of a sudden this person comes very close to you and they have this, you know, basket asking for money. Well, that would make me feel uncomfortable. And so at that point in time, you need to respect that part of you and just say, excuse me, you know, I don't think so, or just put your hand up. Sometimes it's just enough just to put a strong hand up to say no. You don't even have to say no. You can just put your hand up, letting them know, uh-uh, don't come any closer to me. That can be very, very effective. Another aspect of boundaries is not letting others define you. If your reality is such that you believe that trees are green, but they have a tint of yellow to them, and you really want to believe that, and it makes you feel comfortable to believe that, and someone else comes in and says, well, you know, they're really not green. They're blue-green. And you say, oh, okay, well, I guess they're blue-green then. And then you just lose your own identity. You lose your own reality. And like, well, no. You know, there may be blue-green to you, and you know what? That's great, because I love blue-green. But you know what? They're a little bit more of an emerald green or a yellow-green to me. So isn't this fun to have, you know, different ways of seeing green? And you gain your reality, or you at least keep your reality. Doesn't mean you can't change, but at least don't change just because someone says, you know, the candle's blue and you see white. It's very, very apart, very important. Another aspect of boundaries, and I know that people experience these, and again, I want to remind you tonight, I am taking callers, so if there's something you want to share about boundaries, feel free to call, interrupt me anytime, because I'll just talk all night. So just let me know if you have something to share or if you have a reading that you'd like to have. But falling apart, so someone can just come in and say, you know, I need to be taken care of. I think a lot of us have experienced that, especially sometimes with parents. They just fall apart, or our children will fall apart because they really want someone to take care of them. That's okay for a few minutes, but it isn't okay if it lasts a long time. And if someone really, really has a problem with boundaries, then that can affect something. So it's very important to know that. Now, one of the things I wanted to share with you is just some different aspects of boundaries. You know, if you have, if you're happy and you recognize you're happy, that's a pretty good, you know, checklist that says, you know what, yeah, I'm okay, you know. And it's very interesting when you trust your own intuition, that while others, being others, open to others' opinions, like I had mentioned earlier about the green leaves, you know, you're trusting your own intuition. I don't feel comfortable about going down. Do you think about all the kids that have had bad things happen to them because they didn't trust their intuition? Let's say they're all studying, and all of a sudden some kid says, you know what, let's go out. Let's go out and have a beer, and the kid knows they're not supposed to drink, and they don't have a car, and they don't have a license, and the kid's at the studying, doing exactly what the girl's supposed to do, and all of a sudden she goes with her intuition, says, no, I can't go. And then something happens, and they drag her out, and then, you know, not necessarily everything happens bad, but sometimes it does. And I have heard so many people talk on TV and different shows saying, if I had just listened to my heart. And that's where the intuition is coming from, your heart. You know, it's like it's that third eye, that brow, that knowingness that, you know what, I'm not going to go no matter what. So it's just very, very important to trust what that is. So I want to I have Julie on the line. How are you tonight, Julie?
Hi, Vicki. How are you?
I'm doing very well. What's going on in your life tonight?
Oh, my goodness. It's been bad.
Uh-oh.
It's been so bad. Anyway, my mom passed away, and my sister, you know, she lived with me, and I took care of her. I quit my job to take care of her. And my sisters stole all of her money, and I'm going to go down to the courthouse to contest, and I'm wondering if that will work out.
Ooh. Okay, first off, yes, it will work out, but you're going to have to be very persistent, Julie,
mm-hmm.
because when you get into probate types of things, do you, let me just ask you something, just not necessarily getting into intuition here for a moment, but do you have records of what's been taken?
No, because my sister kept them all. My sister was the executor. There was no property or anything. My mom just had a lot of money. She had over $500,000, and my sisters took it.
Wow.
Because I was adopted. I was adopted, and they've always been jealous of me, and they felt that I didn't have the right. I was adopted when I was a baby. And mm-hmm. I'm the one who took care of my dad till he passed, and my mom. My mom lived with me in my rented house.
Yeah, let me just share something with you, Julie. First off, as an adoptive child, you have legal rights just as if you were born out of the womb, okay?
Yeah.
There is no difference under the law. None at all. If you were left, have you read the will?
Oh, yeah, I have a copy of the will, and I was left a quarter of it because my brother had passed away. Both brothers passed away, but an older brother passed away, and his two kids, my mom wanted them to have his share. And so I get a quarter of it, but she used to get in my face and say, I don't have to give you anything. It's not her money.
Okay. Yes. First off, I'm going to tell you right now, you're in Washington, right?
Mm-hmm.
You need to get an attorney.
I know, but I don't have any money. I mean, I am so broke right now.
Okay. Julie, you need to go find an attorney who will work with you, and you know, you'd have to pay them a certain percentage of them. Go tell them your story.
Okay.
First off, I just want to tell you this right up front. Yes, go to the courthouse, file something saying that you have a right to your quarter, that you have not gotten it.
Right.
Let that be the first step. So that puts any kind of statute of limitations out of the gets out of the problem.
Okay.
And then when was this, when did your mother pass?
My mom passed away February 25th.
Okay, so you're very much in the time frame. What I want you to do is go ahead and do that. Then what I want you to do is I want you to go to an attorney, tell them your story, tell them you have no money, find one who will take a percentage. Regretfully, you might have to share something to get it.
I don't care.
I doubt it, because I think they will take it from the estate because this is what happened.
Right.
Have you tried that, Julie?
You know, I've been in so much grief because she's my best friend. I've been in so much grief.
Yeah, I know. I know that, and I understand. With all my heart, I understand. So what I want you to do, there will be an attorney up there. I feel that. That I get a big yes on. I want you to go find someone who works with wills, and I want you to go find a person who is willing to take this case.
My sister worked for a bank that my mom had three bank accounts. She worked for the bank that my mom had money in too.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know things like, I'm not really intelligent about law stuff. She had 2 months before my mom passed away, she had me bring my mom to the bank, which my mom had dementia. She was not in her right mind.
Mm-hmm.
And just, she said Social Security wants to know if she's alive.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs to be notarized. My sister's not a notary, but she brought a book out for my mom to sign. I don't know what that was, but I'm not feeling good about it.
No, I wouldn't either. Okay, this is what this is a rival situation. This is not family, regretfully. I feel that. I see it in the cards, everything. What I would do there, I really want to be honest with you, Julie, on this.
Please.
This is intuitive. It's also because I have some background on this. I have I've never experienced this, but I do understand a little bit about what you're talking about.
My mom just wanted me to be taken care of.
Yes, she did. And what I'm healing, we're going to bring her in a minute. What I'm feeling right now is that your sister needs to be called on this, and there will be an attorney there. This is what Spirit is telling me. Julie, you're going to have to find legal help.
Okay.
This lady is not going to, you know, and I'm going to tell you, there's something else you need, and this is the card I pulled for you. You need to ask Spirit for help. I mean, this is one of those situations. Yes. And that's maybe why you called. And I'm telling you, you need legal help right now. I'm not real big on legal work, but I'm going to tell you something. When these kinds of situations, you have to be. I want you to find, and I want you to pull yourself up by the bootstraps, and I want you to go find an attorney. Maybe there's somebody listening tonight that knows somebody in that area. But I want you to go find somebody. And I want you to tell them, because they know there's money there and they know they'll get paid. It just has to be somebody in a big firm that can eat the cost until they can get something going. I don't see this going on with a small attorney. Small practice. They don't have the funds necessarily to wait it out.
Right.
But your sister needs to be called on this because
I just want her to take responsibility for what she did to my mom.
Well, she's not. I don't know that she's going to do that without an attorney. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. She doesn't think you're going to do it.
I was really scared because there's a lot of money involved. And I thought, so I left to California and then I came back to my same home that I rented. They don't know I'm here.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to tell you something, too. Once I want you to do this. I really want you to go find an attorney to help you. Now, the second thing is I want you to know that once you get this handled, and you are going to get this handled, you're going to have to use every strength within you because it is your year to recreate your life, and it is like a rebirthing for you. And part of this is going to come from doing this because that's what your mother – what was your mother's name?
Minnie.
Minnie. I just want to see if we can get Minnie to
come in.
Because
I have a biological mom. That's not the one she's passed to.
No.
My best friend.
This is the one who has her arms out right now. She has moved on to, it almost feels like the fifth dimension up there. She's up.
She's very spiritual.
I feel her. I feel her that she's in a healing, situation right now, but it's so beautiful. It is so beautiful, Julie, that she's actually asking for you to get the help. She's asking you to go. I can see her hands out.
Right.
They're laid out for her, for you, but they're also moving, like tell her to move on. Tell her to do something to get this handled. Tell her to do something. And
well, I quit my job to take care of my mom. You know?
Yeah.
No.
You got to get an attorney. It's hard.
Yeah,
I know it is. And you're going to get through this. Now, listen, I want you to put your hand on your heart right now, Julie. I want you to put your hand on your heart. Your mother's with you right now, and she's not forgetting you about this situation. She's telling you that it's going to be okay, but you're going to have to do some legwork on it to get it. And I do feel that in the end, it's going to turn out okay. It's not going to be the easiest. Anytime you go through the law, it is not always fun, and it isn't always easy. But this is something that you're asking, your mother's asking you to do it on the other side. I'm telling you that right now. I see her. She has a teardrop coming out of her eye because she's so sad that this has happened to you. Now, on the other side, they don't feel the same way we do, but she's sharing with you that she did not intend this to happen, and she knows that you know this.
She's
sending you so much love and support, and she's asking you. Yeah. Well, I'm feeling her right now. She's asking you. I'm going to tell you right now where I'm feeling this right now. And I don't know. I don't even want to mention the town you're in. I don't want you giving me any details on it.
Okay.
But I do feel that, this attorney that you need to be going to, and, just know that I don't mean that they're in the northeast, but there's something connected to the northeast part of town or something. It's like there's some area in there that feels like he's – I feel his energy. I feel it's a male.
Okay.
I feel it's a man, and I feel that there is an attorney there that's going to handle this for you. And I tend – is there – when you – without mentioning the town, I do not want you to mention that on the air. But when you go into your town, is there this area that would be more northeast? It could be in that section of town. That's more of what I'm feeling. It doesn't mean that it's in the northeast part of your town, but it could just be in the northeast section of where the lawyers are or around the courthouse or something. But that's where I'm feeling this guy is. I see him, and I don't even want to get into what he looks like right now because I want you to go and find him. And I feel with the help of your mother and with the help of the angels, you are going to be guided to him because I see you taking steps. And I see you sitting down with him, so that lets me know that you are going to find him. It's going to be up to you, Julie. You know, I see that you're connecting to him, and I want you to tomorrow morning, tomorrow's Wednesday, I want you to ask tonight, I said, just say spirit, or however you call God. I just call him spirit, so everybody knows. I want you to guide me to this person now. I need this person now, and I'm going to get on the phone tomorrow, and I would not be one bit surprised, Julie, if you don't open that phone book up, and right there, it's going to just open up to this person. And don't get discouraged. I'm telling you right now, do not get discouraged if one or two say no. Let them know right up front that, you know.
I don't have any money.
Yes, well, I know attorneys, sweetie, and I know so many of them can't take it. And it isn't that they don't want to. It's just like attorneys like me, I don't have a law firm except for myself, so I can't do stuff like that. But a bigger firm, they'll take this in a minute. So, you know, I'm not saying a solo one wouldn't take it, though, so please don't get me wrong.
Right.
Because some of them may, you know, they may be able to take something like this because they know it's a good case. They know it's a good case. I've heard of cases far less good than this. And let me tell you, your sister's in for some major, major accounting discovery and all that. And I don't think it'll ever go to court, Julie. I think your sister's just going to, like, you know, I just think it's going to be okay. I want you to take a deep breath and always put your hand on your heart when things feel a little uncomfortable. Your mother's with you. I feel her. She loves you. She
I love her too.
Yes. She is with you, and she's guiding you down those I see these pebbles, this little pebble walkway, and it's leading right to this office. So I'm telling you, there is an attorney, and I do not want you giving up on this. And if you start to give up, you contact me at AskSpiritNow.com, and I'll get you through it, because this is not one of those things you give up on, okay?
You know, I don't want them to be in trouble, but I want them to be accountable. My mom and dad love me.
Well, no, it's not about the money. It's about the fact that your mother had an intention. Let me explain something, Julie. A will is an intention of what someone wants. Mm-hmm. And if you do not, this is a gift for your sister. Let me tell you what's going to happen here, Julie.
Okay.
If you don't do this, your sister, even though she is a rival at this time, at least that's what the card shows, and that's basically what you've told me, she is going to have some karma that's going to hit her so bad, you don't know what's going to happen. So she might as well get it now. It's a gift to her. Because you don't do stuff like this without having some karma to come back at you. So you're really doing a gift for her. So don't forget about the money aspect of it. It is the will of your mother. It was her intention, and she has the right to have her intention followed through on. And that's the way I see it.
You know what else my sister did is she made a first codicil to the will when my mom was very big in dementia.
Uh-huh.
And she had my mom sign. My mom couldn't even sign her name. Put my other sister on the will, and she had her neighbors, and I can prove it's her neighbors that she drinks wine with, they're notaries. Yeah.
Okay. Well, there are a lot of people that could get in a lot of trouble for this. So I'm just going to tell you this. I want you to go forward. Do what you need to do tomorrow. Spirit is guiding you on this. This is a big, big cross of boundaries. Let me tell you, this is one of the biggest. So this is a violation of your spirituality, and it's a violation of your legal rights. So go in there tomorrow. Know that Spirit is guiding you, and do not get discouraged. That's the main issue that I want to bring up, because Spirit is with you. You will get through this. But there are things, even though Spirit is connecting with us and even though Spirit guides us, there are still things we must do on planet Earth to make things happen.
Right.
So that's your step to do that, and nobody can do that for you.
You see it working out?
I do. Actually, I do.
I'm just so exhausted because I'm in grief, and I'm tired.
Well, of course, I feel for that. But take that grief.
And
use it for the other side. You know, grief can also be used to kind of motivate us and say, you know what? I'm not going to put up with this anymore. I can't stay in grief all my life. This is certainly not what your mother wanted. Your mother does not want you to stay in grief. So
I know that.
I want you to go do that, okay?
Okay, thank you.
And thank you so much for calling in. Spirit's with you. Just let it, just do your steps, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right. Thanks, Julie. Thanks for calling in. You know, it's very interesting. There are so many cases. I have a neighbor that has gone through something very similar to Julie. They didn't fight, and there are many, many cases that I've known about that they don't fight because there's not maybe enough money, or they just don't want to go that route. And I have a very, very dear friend that has had the same thing happen, and it is just such a shame because there's going to be a lot of karma and balancing of karma, and that probably it's not a good thing. But anyway, I want to talk about something else, and if there are any other callers, feel free to call, and we'll talk about anything you want to talk about. So I do want to let you know that when you're looking at, you know, creating your own life, it is so important for you to feel what it is in your life that you really want. And I feel like this time period now, we're at 2010, almost halfway through, if not more, we're actually more than halfway through. It's about finding our feelings and you know, finding what really makes us happy. I was sitting out, I have a North Georgia home and I live on 6 acres, but it really feels like about 100 because there are no other homes around. And I can't see really a home without probably 300-400 acres away from me that I can actually see any other house. And I was sitting on my swing and I was just feeling, wow, you know, this is very peaceful. And I think a lot of times when we feel peaceful, we almost feel like, oh, wow, something should be happening, or what am I not doing, or should I not be, you know, doing a card reading for somebody or calling somebody or doing something? And the fact is that we have a right to have some peace in our lives, and we have a right to sit in a swing and really feel God's presence, really feel Spirit coming in. And I feel that it is so important. I remember one time I went through a huge divorce case. It was very uncomfortable. I had to protect my daughter. It was just probably the worst time in my whole entire existence, at least that I can recall. And one day I was sitting out, years after that, I was sitting out by the lake, and there was, I had my two horses with me, and I was completely at peace. I could listen to the birds. I could hear the water. I could see them splashing. My horses swam, by the way. They would swim in the lake. And it was so beautiful watching these gorgeous creatures swim. I mean, you know, they're huge. And I felt at peace for the first time since all this had happened. And it almost shocked me. I was like, oh, my God, I'm bored. Oh, I'm so bored. And then I realized, oh, no, Vicky, you know, you're not bored. You're really not bored. You're really at peace. Everything's going well in your life. Spirit is, you feel Spirit in your heart. You feel your daughter's safety. You feel the love of these horses, and life is peaceful. And that was the very first time in this life, actually, that I can recall being at peace. And I felt it again today because I was just sitting, listening to the beautiful, the birds and all the different creatures. You could hear the deer walking around. And I was just so profoundly affected by it. I didn't want to move. I was reading a book called The Wheel of Destiny, which is Patricia McLean. I believe she was on last week. I was reading her book. And it was about the tarot and about your master plan. And, you know, I was sitting there feeling so much about it because so many people are scared of the tarot. And I'm like, I wonder why. What would there be to be scared of the tarot? It, you know, it was used in the biblical days. It goes way, way back. I mean, you know, there's references to it all in the Bible and different, you know, prophecies and all that. They used all of this in the temples and all of that. But yet now it's like considered not something, you know, people are afraid of it. And I think it's so fascinating. So fascinating that people get so frightened about processes and beautiful ways of helping others. And it frightens them so much that they don't even want to hear about it. And I have to tell you, when I was I had Patricia on last week, I didn't know about her book, but she sent it to me after the radio show last week. And I'm going to tell you, I haven't started reading it too much yet, but it's a big book. But I plan on reading it in the next couple of weeks. So I just want to share that with you. If you have a chance, you can go to Amazon and get The Wheel of Destiny by Patricia McLean. Wonderful book. And so but anyway, you know, when we have situations as spiritually, we do have to protect our boundaries, just like my last caller. Because basically, if she does not protect her spiritual boundaries, and that's her physical boundaries too, because her mother has an intention for her. That's why we have wills, so that when someone passes away, their intention is very clearly written out in a will or a trust, to say, okay, this is what I want to have happen. And so it's very, very important that that occur. And we do have to protect our boundaries. It's just vitally important. And so I just want to share that, because when we go through life experiences and we call ourselves spiritual, you know, everybody's basically either religious or spiritual or an atheist. I guess those are the only three that are left in the world today, maybe. You know, religious people can be spiritual. Spiritual people typically can, I don't know, there's a whole viewpoint on that. I'm not religious, but I'm extremely spiritual. And some very religious people are very spiritual. I tend to think that when people are spiritual, they're probably don't go to church as much unless they go to the Unity or different kinds of churches because they don't like the dogma. I am an ordained minister myself, but the church that I am ordained in has literally no dogma except, you know, try not to judge. And that's pretty much the only one if that you can even call it that. But, one of the things that when you are in your boundaries and you are protecting yourself, you act out of agreement and you act out of negotiation. So when you're going in there to protect your interest, you don't have to do it to kill. You're just going in there to protect your interest. It's not to hurt other people. It isn't to be ugly. It's just to protect your interest. And that's one of the biggest issues that I have with divorce. I'm hoping that my book will make some sort of impact on the way that we do divorces, because I really want to help people get a divorce in a sane manner so that it doesn't kill people for life. I mean, I have some very dear friends that never want to marry again because it was so traumatic going through a divorce, especially with kids. And, you know, it's like, oh, my goodness, I don't want to do that. I don't want to lose all my money. Well, I don't think anybody should have to do that. I don't think that's what marriage should be about or the divorce should be. But it ends up being that way. We all know that. But we can make a difference, and we can do that. By the way, I want to remind everybody that October 8th through the 10th in Asheville, North Carolina, beautiful Asheville, North Carolina, it's such a gorgeous place up there, Rose and I are doing Inner Sanctuary Training, which is a beautiful way. It's a fabulous method of going within. You can call it meditation because it is, but I do it in the car with my eyes open, thank you, and I can do it in the grocery store. If something, there are just the most beautiful steps to learning how to manifest your dreams, and it has to be done every day, and you have to do it. You can't just take the class, you know, for the weekend retreat and expect it just to magically shift something. I always like people to know that, because anything on the spiritual path, you have to work at. You have to do it with love in your heart, and you have to at least have fun doing it. And that's the difference. I did not like to meditate until I did Inner Sanctuary Training. It was like meditate, I either go to sleep or I'm figuring out what I'm going to buy at the grocery store or who I'm going to call. And it was just like worthless to me. I had bought maybe a 5,000 meditation tapes and usually I'd go to sleep. But this was the most profound way that I have found to meditate and to get answers to a lot of my questions. And my dolphin room, I love that one. I just go swimming with the dolphins. It's absolutely, you know, just fabulous. But I want to invite you to that. We're keeping our cost way down, and you can go to askspiritnow.com to get all the details, and you can register on there, and then we will get you all the data. We will be emailing all the directions on how to get there. If you're flying in, you can fly into Asheville, and then, you know, it's a wonderful place we're staying at. So I just really, I think we've got maybe half full. So we've got, maybe 6 or 7, 8, maybe more people that can come. I think we can only have 16 to 20. I'm not sure, but we've got a lot of people already signed up. So make sure you go in there before, I believe September 15th, we're going up. Because we have to let the lady know how many people we're going to have. So we're just so excited about meeting you and having you there. So we hope that you will join us. And one thing I wanted to share with you, too, about relationships and boundaries and all, is that there are three kinds of situations that we get into. We either are a victim, or we are a persecutor, or we are a rescuer. And when you have a relationship that has boundaries that have been violated, you're either going to be the victim one minute, you're going to be the I am right persecutor the next, you know, all powerful, or you're going to be the rescuer. I am the good one that takes care of everybody. And one way or the other, you're going to either go through these three types of situations. Some people call it the drama triangle. I call it the abuse triangle, the cycle of abuse. Different names for it depends on who's writing it up. But in my training, it was like, if you're going to, you know, a lot of times the victim in a situation in a a boundary violation. The victim appears to be like somebody who can't take care of themselves. Well, really, they're the ones who are in power, because they're the ones that are saying, well, I'm, you know, poor, pitiful me. I can't do anything. And what happens is they become blameless, and then somebody else takes on, you know, oh, I'll take care of them. And then somebody else comes in and does the, you know, so you can play all three different roles. I hope I'm making sense. But it's a very, very difficult situation to get in with, because it takes the responsibility out of the situation. And so many times this is what happens. There's no internal, there's a lack of internal conflict. And, you know, it's just the conflict is constantly in the relationship. And this is typically what causes drama in relationships, whether it be in your family or with your spouse. And this is always a sign of violations of boundaries, whether it be physical or spiritual or whatever. But it is very, very important. And I'll tell you something else, too, that I find fascinating having a daughter, is that when she has a right to keep her room the way she wants it. Now, if she wants her allowance, you know, she has to keep her room clean, and there are certain rules we have about food and all. But when she has a right to keep her, you know, she's cleaning up her room, she has a right for me not to come in until it's cleaned up, because she has that right. Well, Mom, you gave me 2 hours to clean it up, so it's my space now. And you know what? We have to honor our children. How in the world will they ever learn boundaries if we don't honor their boundaries when they're very young? And it's just very important to learn to do that. It's just amazing to me that when we go through our lives, I know I had a friend here that actually is going to be on the show, I believe, in the first week, September 7th, Rose from Energy Works down in Florida. She and I are very, very good friends. We see each other, you know, a couple of times a year, but we talk a lot. And it's interesting because we honor each other's boundaries. Even though we're around each other when we visit, you know, Anya's always down there, and I do a lot of intuitive fairs down there with her, and she does things up here when I'm working with her. And it's very interesting because we always honor the boundaries, and never, you know, when you're saying that someone's house, never just always be around them all the time, because they need their space. They need their time alone. They need all of that. So it's just extremely important. And, but I want to just share something with you, because when we learn to honor our boundaries, we have to also learn to open our heart to love. And I really believe that's why Jesus came to us. Jesus Christ came to us over 2,000 years ago, was to teach us about love. And it is unconditional love on planet Earth right now. Probably, I don't know, maybe it exists with the pets. I'm not sure. I know it exists. And I seek it out. It's one of my journeys this life to feel that unconditional love. And I want to share something with you, because I have a beautiful son that I haven't seen for 9 years now, and he's in a cult in California, and he disconnected. That's their policy. And I have had to learn to love him unconditionally no matter what. If I never see him again, no matter what he feels about me, no matter how he judges me, I still have to love him unconditionally. And the best way that I go about doing that is I just go into deep prayer with him, and I just let him know I love him no matter what. So, you know, we all have our journeys, and we all have to learn about whatever we're supposed to learn. But I just want to thank you so much for tuning in to Ask Spirit Now this evening, and I just want to remind you about October 8th. You can go to my website at AskSpiritNow.com. I do Akashic record readings and past life regressions. I do Rohan card readings as well, to help you find out about your thoughts and feelings and how those can be adversely affecting your life. And it's a profound reading that I do. And I do these long distance. I do them, you know, by phone, and I also do them by Skype. I do them internationally as well. So, and I do want to invite you for next Tuesday at 7 o'clock Eastern and 4 o'clock Pacific. Deborah Clements, an astrologer who used to be an attorney, I guess still is an attorney, but she doesn't practice. And she's going to be on. She has and anchored in astrology show. So we're going to be talking a lot about astrology next week. So I'm so excited for y'all to tune in and listen to that. It's going to be an exciting show. And again, remember on September 7th, Rose from Energy Works. September 14th will be Marshall Smith, a UFO expert from California. He's also from Georgia, too, I believe. And a lot of different places. I know that he's had some fabulous experiences with UFOs. So just remember to ask Spirit now. And remember, I will be thinking of you all week. And I will look forward to talking with you again next Tuesday evening on the Ask Spirit Now. Good night.